Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Happy Veterans Day. I would like to give special recognition to those of you in the listening audience and the people in this country who have served in the armed forces and are currently in the armed forces. We give thanks and appreciation to you for putting your lives and having put your lives on the line for those of us who reside in this country. And for those people who reside in other parts of the world, regardless of your political beliefs, I still think that the men and women in the armed forces and services deserve recognition and respect. So I give respect to you. I thank you. I honor you. And we're just so appreciative of your putting your lives on the line for others. So, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans, past, present, and future. Okay? Now, welcome to Higher Consciousness. I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show Higher Consciousness. Currently, I teach psychology at colleges. I have a private counseling practice. I am a certified Reiki master, energy medicine practitioner, certified metaphysician, author, holistic life coach, certified aromatherapist, and I am a radio talk show host in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And the reason for my developing the show is I wanted to have a forum to discuss topics about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, divine prosperity, and universal laws, as well as social and political issues. And for some of the shows, we have guests who also cover these topics, as well as more topics. Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So, without further delay, I'm going to introduce tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is the game of life and how to play it. And I, Professor Jamila Franklin, am the guest and the guest host for the show this evening. For those of you who would like to talk with me regarding this topic, the number is 1-818-572-8023, and then you can press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. For those of you who want to use the internet, you just type in http://tobtr.com/s/, and the number 5663387. Again, the link for those of you who are on the phone is http://tobtr.com/s/. btr.com/s/5663387. Internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion. Only one call at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin. My purpose is to connect with you on a soul-to-heart level, and heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. Last week, our topic was Holistic Women's Retreat for the Spirit, Mind, and Body with Dr. Imani Ma'at and Ron Stevens. We had 6 callers. However, in 1 week, we have had 200 downloads, which means 200 people have downloaded and are continuing to download the Higher Consciousness Program. And as always, I am so very thankful to each of you. Since October 22nd of last year, we have had 41,122 listens. Again, let me just repeat that. We've had 41,122 listens, which includes the live calls, and this is in only 12 and a half months. Also remember, if you can't join us live, you can always go to the website and hear all of the shows which are archived. Now, I'm just going to give you a recap of last week's program. Last week's topic was Holistic Women's Retreat for the Spirit, Mind, and Body. And as I stated, Dr. Imani Ma'at was the guest speaker along with her husband, Ron Stevens. And Dr. Ma'at discussed the need for women to nurture their spirits, minds, and bodies by taking care of themselves. She also gave an overview of the wonderful activities that took place, and she talked about some of the presenters for the Holistic Retreat, and I was one of the presenters. It was a wonderful, wonderful retreat, and it was held on Saturday, November the 9th, in a 3-acre wooded retreat center, and it was from 9 a.m. until around 8 p.m. And the day included meditation, aromatherapy, nutrition, live and raw food demonstrations and smoothies, yoga, fun activities, and so much more. And some of the people who presented were Dr. Imani Ma'at. She gave an overview about what the weekend or the retreat was going to entail. I gave a presentation, and I talked about aromatherapy, but I just talked about raising our vibrations and consciousness using aromatherapy, but also just being tapped into our inner guides and inner teachers who will show us how to go to the next vibrational level. And then another person who presented was Baba Yoga Bay, who did a wonderful presentation about yoga for the mind, body, and spirit, and he showed us the ways in which you can prevent getting arthritis and a lot of other diseases by just knowing how to move properly. And it was just absolutely wonderful what he showed us. Then we had Agnes Nasheed in the Raw, which is her business, and she's a live and raw food chef. Aggie just provided us with delectable meals, and it was just so wonderful. Everything that she provided was not cooked. So she gave us a veggie lasagna. Everything was made from plants. Nothing came from animals. There was no dairy, no soy, nothing. Everything was raw from veggies. And you would have thought that she had cooked the lasagna. It was just absolutely mouth-watering. And she had a strawberry cheesecake, which was made with strawberries and cashews, that we had that was great, and the salad, and we had nori rolls, and everything was just vegetables that were not cooked. So it was just absolutely wonderful. And we had a presentation made by Kwanda Deshane, And Kwanda talked about the need for people to take care of themselves, particularly women who are caregivers, because women tend to neglect themselves for the sake of others. And she's a chaplain, and she gave very good exercises for the participants to participate in to show how they could make themselves a priority. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful. And another person who presented was Saraya Abdul-Mateen. Saraya has been on the show before, and she did a guided meditation with sound and vibration healing, and it was just absolutely great. She and Chauncey Thompson, who accompanied her, used singing bowls. And if you've not had a singing bowl meditation, you must have one. And if you live in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, Saraya, the person that you should definitely see. She has guided meditations on Sunday evenings, Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3, and Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30. And her meditations are only $10, and they are an hour each. And they use the singing bowls and the chakra chimes to clear up any energy blockages that are in your body. And then Ambassa Safira did a wonderful activity in terms of showing people how to play, women how to play, because sometimes we become so focused and so serious that we make ourselves sick because we don't know how to have fun. And she taught us how to go back to bring out the little child within us that's screaming for attention and screaming for support. So she was great in showing us how to recapture the little child within us. So that weekend retreat was just absolutely phenomenal. And I'm so thankful to Dr. Imani Ma'at for hosting it and showing us the need for having a retreat like that. And she's going to have some future retreats as well. So stay tuned when she has her other retreats. I will have her back on the show to give my listeners some information. Now, tonight, I'm going to have you, the listening audience, be my guest. I hope you will feel comfortable in calling in and asking questions. I have several professions that I do. I'm a certified metaphysician, and I'm a certified holistic life coach. Tonight, I'm going to really talk about my holistic life coaching abilities and my being a certified metaphysician and showing you about the game of life and how to play it. I've been into metaphysics, as I've stated before, since the mid-80s, and Florence Scovel Shinn is the author of this book called The Game of Life and How to Play It, and we're going to go over how life is a game. And the reason why we're not successful is because we don't know the rules, the metaphysical rules. People use third-dimensional corporate America rules or rules from the family, and those are not the rules that are going to have you have joy, peace, and happiness and to be successful in the long run in life. You will be successful up to a point if you play the life using the third-dimensional rules. It's some book, I forgot the name of it, How to Win Successful People or something like that, I think, by Dale Carnegie. And that book, I think, is really good. I think I skimmed it once or twice. But it doesn't go to the heart of metaphysics. Metaphysics is not about mind games. It's about understanding energy and understanding how the universe works and understanding how the Creator, Allah, Jehovah, Yeshiva, Oladamari, whatever the name is of that being, is outside of you, whatever name you give it. Even if you're an atheist, if you're a Buddhist, there's still some universal principles and laws that operate. It doesn't require your belief. So tonight I'm going to give you some information about how to change your life. And these are not things that are theoretical, but if you apply these rules, even when you listen to the wonderful psychics that I have on my show, people will listen to them and then say, oh, but it didn't come true. And it's because they don't understand the energy involved. They keep doing the same thing, and so it can't. If you keep doing the same things and expecting different results, that's insanity. So we always want quick shortcuts. There are no quick shortcuts. You have to know the rules. You have to understand the metaphysical and spiritual rules. They're in every belief system. Every religious book tells you. Every metaphysical book tells you. So tonight we're going to cut to the chase, and I am the person who's going to teach it. I am a holistic health practitioner and metaphysician, as I said, holistic coach and aromatherapist. I do a lot of things. Tonight I'm serving in the role as a metaphysician, a holistic life coaching counselor, and quasi-professor. Okay? So hopefully get some paper, pen, either if you're going to use your cell phone, you can use your cell phone to take notes. You can get paper and pen or your iPad or whatever, because we're going over some really good things tonight. Now, you're going to learn the metaphysical rules and laws that will teach you the ways to attract your heart's desires. Being in alignment means you do less and attract more. Most people are working themselves to an early grave because they use their minds. And they will get things like the, you know, not to cast aspersion on him, but like the Donald Trump way, you know, using aggression and fear and intimidation. Oh, you would get things. But whatever you put out, there's a price to pay for that. And it will come back, whatever you put out, because that's a universal law. So we're going to learn the principles tonight. And the book is called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And it was written by Florence Scovel, S-C-O-V-E-L, Shin, S-H-I-N-N. And she was born September 24th, 1871. And she died October 17th, 1940. And she was a New Thought teacher and writer. Florence resided in New York City most of her life, teaching at the New York Unity Society. And from 1889 to 1897, she was an art student in Philadelphia. There she met her future husband, Everett Shin. He was born in 1876, and he died in 1953. And he was a prominent American artist who was part of a group called The Eight, which later became the Ashken School of Urban Realists. And the couple moved to New York City, and both pursued artistic careers, with Florence becoming an illustrator. So she was an artist by profession originally. They divorced in 1912, and Florence apparently turned to New Thought shortly thereafter. And in the early 1920s, she wrote and self-published her first book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. Florence Scovel Shin's approach to New Thought is practical, filled with references to popular culture. She made an elaborate parable out of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Shin was attempting to bring metaphysical ideas down to earth for everyday people, and she succeeds for the most part. Affirmations are at the heart of Shin's methods. She wrote a huge number of pithy affirmations, which are still circulating in the New Thought literature in society at large today. And her books continue to appeal to readers who want guidance in difficult times. And tonight I'm going to cover the metaphysical, practical concepts that Florence Scovel Shin made popular during her lifetime. And these principles are still very popular today. And we will cover principles that will shift your thinking and consciousness to a higher vibration so that you can enjoy and have divine peace, health, wealth, prosperity, joy, love, and happiness. And I encourage you to go online to Amazon.com and order this book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. And it is a book that is read with as much enthusiasm today as was exhibited when it was published in the 1920s. So now, as I said, bring out your paper, your pen, your cell phones, or tablets to write some effective tools and affirmations that will shift your consciousness effortlessly during this radio program. And for those of you who want to have more information about this method and to learn more about metaphysics, I would invite you to definitely call in if you have any questions, 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Okay, so now let's just get to the first concept, the game. Okay, what is the game? Now, life is a game, and most people do not know the rules. Rule number one, which everyone should know, and people talk about this, but they really don't understand how this goes. And I'm going to use some terms that may be religious, but get beyond the terms because she used some of these terms in her books. It doesn't matter. She had a Christian philosophy. I am a universalist. I use Christian terms, Muslim terms, Buddhist terms, Yoruba terms, because they're just different words to get to the same place. So I encourage you not to get bogged down with the semantics, but to see what the meaning is behind the words. Because sometimes people can't get beyond the words and they miss out on the universal message. Now, rule number one, whatever a person sends out in word or deed, he or she will receive. So let's just look at this. And people may say, oh, I know that. No, if your world is not the way that you want, you've sent out a thought or you've sent out a word or you've done an act that is going against what you say that you want. I hear people say all the time, and I've said this on some other shows, but tonight we're going to get down into the metaphysics of the words. Okay, I am broke. So then, and we talk about this, and people say, oh, yeah, I'm not going to use that. But even if you don't say the word, if you feel, because this is how it goes, the universe, your guides, your teachers, the Most High, Jehovah, whatever, cannot go against your thoughts and your will. That's a universal principle. God, Jehovah, whatever the being or universe, whatever you want to call it, cannot override your will. Let me just repeat that. The universal force cannot override your will. So if you, that because you are born with everything that you need, but if you say that you're broke, if you are cautious with your money, if you do not release your money with love, and I'm not telling people to go out and spend money on unnecessary items, like, you know, you have a house full of clothes and shoes and you're just spending money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you desire to have clothes and you hold back on the money and say that you don't have it, or if you know that you should tithe, and I tithe, but I don't tithe to organizations or to churches that I don't go to or believe in. People are tithing to people or to churches that they don't even believe in. So that doesn't make sense. Why are you supporting something that's going against what you truly believe in? That's not in alignment. When you release money, the reason, okay, let me explain the reason why people should tithe. It has nothing to do with the minister. And you can't give God any money back because God doesn't work on that level. The spirit doesn't work on that level. The reason why you tithe or you release money is because that which you release, you will get back in return. Remember, whatever you send out in word or deed, you will receive. So if you're not tithing or giving to a person, it doesn't have to be a minister if you don't go to church. But say, for instance, if there's someone who's giving you a word of encouragement and wisdom, you can give that person money for the wisdom. And it's not like paying the person. It's like this is an exchange of energy. If the person is giving you something that's going to uplift your spirit and it's going to take you to the next level, then in exchange for that, you then release something. In exchange, you can give another word of wisdom to them, but if you want the money, then you have to give that which you want. So if someone is giving you something that is uplifting you, then and you need money, then what the universe is going to look at and give you back is what you release. So you release the money to the person, not paying the person, but because the person has done a kind deed or act. So once you release that money, and I've done it, you will receive that and more. Because the universe is looking at your feeling about it. If you give with hesitation or a sense of dread or obligation, then if someone gives money to you, it's going to be with that same energy. The person is going to remind you, well, I'm giving you this money, but I really need it. That's what the person is going to tell you. So the person is not going to give you money with a free heart. Why? Because you didn't give money with a free heart. So everything is energy. That's the beauty of all of this. We've been taught that we have no control over our world and our lives, and it's the complete opposite. Whatever you give, and it's not just giving, it's the energy behind it. Because the universe, God, Ola Demare, Jehovah, Allah, is a feeling universe. So whenever you send out thought out, and I'm going to talk about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and I'm going to break this all down for you to show you how this works. And it's foolproof. Whenever you send a thought out, it has to return in like kind. And when it comes back, sometimes you recognize it and sometimes you don't. Whenever you do a deed, it's going to come back in like manner. Sometimes you recognize it, sometimes you don't. If you want to get the highest and the best, it's not just about giving money. It's the energy behind the gift. So when you give or tithe and you're doing it from a free heart and a free spirit, the universe has to multiply that gift. Because you're giving it from a place of love. There is nothing that can stand up to love. And when you give from that space of love, you're going to get that and more back. So you give and you release it. You don't think, okay, I gave this person some money on Friday, and so I'm looking to get it back on Monday. No, you give it and you let it go. And when you get, and this is what I want you to write down, whatever you give in word, thought, or deed is coming back to you. And then what I do when I release things, I said, I bless the money. Anytime you bless something, you're changing the energetic frequency of it. And people spend so much time, because I'm also a Reiki master, and I've tested people when they use the N word and when they curse, you are definitely taking away your energy when you do that. Whenever you use words that are not high vibrational words, you are killing the cells within your body. And people just use words so casually. They use curse words so casually. How can you get life from something that you've cursed? That's completely illogical. So we have to look at how we are being in the world and how we've been taught. People say things, especially young people now, I've heard people talk about them. I'm not around young people who curse like that because my energy doesn't attract that to me. But I've heard people say young people now curse, you know, and they don't see why their lives now are full of turmoil because they're cursing things around them. So the universe has to give them a cursed existence. So when you give money and you bless it, if money is what you need, you give it freely and you give it, like I said, to the organization, to the person, or to a church or whatever that is blessing you. Don't give it out of a sense of obligation. Well, I don't really go to this church anymore, but I'm going to give to the church. Why are you giving it to a church you no longer belong to or you no longer go to? That's not logical. And you're looking at another person or this or someone has blessed your life, and you're not giving it to him or her as a blessing. You're giving it to some place where you're not being spiritually fed. And then we sit back and say, wow, I'm not getting blessed because we don't understand how this works. You're not in alignment. Alignment means you're in sync with what you want. You're giving to something that's not blessing you, so you're not in sync with it. So therefore, how can you get blessed? Because you're not in alignment and you're not looking at the thing or honoring the thing that's going to take you to the next level. So the first thing we have to do is, like I said, understand that whatever you give and send out in word or deed, you're going to receive. So for a lot of people are really focused on money. So we want to talk a lot about money. Now, money is just an energy. It has no feelings, nothing. It only responds to how you think about it. That's how it is. It's just an energy. And people don't understand it, and so the more they obsess about it or fear it or talk about the lack, the more it runs away from you because you're not sending things out to magnetize it to you. So it runs from you. When you use the words broke, I can't afford, I don't have it, then it says, okay, you're right. I was about to come, but she or he has blocked me because they're trying to figure out how I'm coming, and that's not our role. We don't need to figure out the how. We just need to state the what. State what we desire in a prayer and then visualize it and then let the universe bring it to us because there are gazillions of ways for the universe to bring things to us, but we have been conditioned to only see it in one way, and that's the mistake. So with the game of life, the first rule is to understand that you also so deserving. So you don't have to beg God. You don't have to plead with God. You don't have to be at the wailing wall. All you have to do is state it and send out the word by saying, thank you. I am receiving this money. I thank you, God. I thank you, universe. I thank you, creator, whatever name. Send it out in love, and when someone does a kind act for you, you reciprocate. If it's money that, like I said, that you need, then you have to, the way it goes, if you want more of whatever it is, if you want more love, you have to give more love. If you want clothes, you have to give clothes. If you want money, you have to give money. And in Christianity, one of the examples is the woman gave a mite, and the Christ said to her, Christ, first of all, like I've said on other shows, people put too much in terms of Christianity and all that. It's not even what most people perceive it to be. Christ is just a name meaning the anointed one. There were several Christs. There were 13 Christs on this planet. But Jesus was one of them. So with that, when you send out love, or if you want money, you release the money with love. And you know what? When people then give you, they're going to give you with love. Once you release that money, especially like the woman with the mite who gave from her lack, she didn't have money, but she gave what she had. And she only had a mite. And so the Christ said that she would be blessed more than a man, than a king, who could afford to give. So if you really want to be blessed, and I'm not talking about in the religious sense, I'm just talking about in the universal sense. If you want to be blessed, I guarantee you, if you start giving from the place of what you don't have or what you think you don't have, that represents faith. That activates your faith. If you have $1,000 and you get $50, that doesn't represent any faith. You can afford to do that. But if you have $5 and you bless that $5 and say to the universe, I'm releasing this because I know that I'm going to be blessed 1,000,000 times over, and I thank you, God, for showing me how to activate this faith. If you give from that in a place of knowing, I guarantee you the money will come from so many unexpected places because you're giving from a place of faith, you're giving from a place of belief, you're giving from a place of love, and you're not questioning it. But if you're giving to someone, tithing someone or giving someone some money, and you're holding on to that $5, oh, I could have used that $5 to buy this, oh, I hate I gave that $5 away, then the universe hears that because you didn't let it go. And you end up then losing more money because you never, ever released the money to begin with. So you weren't giving from a place of faith. You were giving from a place of fear and obligation. And whatever you believe, well, I believe, you know, if your belief is I gave you $5 and now I'm not going to have money, the universe has to give you that. And then you say, well, Professor Franklin said if I tithe, I would get more money back. She didn't tell the truth. No. What spirit did you use? Were you coming from a place of love, a place of generosity, a place of faith and not fear? So go back into your life and see when you've tithed or when you've given things, what was in your consciousness? Because it's mathematical, it's scientific. Whatever was in your consciousness is what showed up. If you don't have the money that you need, if you don't have the love that you need, if you think you need, if you don't have the romance, whatever, there's something in your consciousness that's blocking it, and we're going to go over it. So send out the money with love, and you will receive people calling you up out of the blue to say, you know, Marie, something told me to call on you and to just bless you with some money. And you know why you're getting the blessing? Because you blessed someone else. So you have to get blessed. And you cannot outgive the universe or the creator. The more you give, the more you're going to definitely receive. And you're going to receive it from places, from people, from expected sources, and from unexpected sources. Tonight what I want to do is activate your system, your belief system, and to deal with the subconscious mind so you can create the magic in your life. Because you know the predictable sources. When you do the things that I'm talking about that are listed in that book, you will start having money come from unexpected sources, people you didn't even know knew you. And people, or you will see money on the ground. It's just going to appear because that's how it works. You will never, ever, ever again be without money. And you will give freely because you can see that you cannot outgive the universe. So the more that you give, the more that you're going to receive. But then it will be from a spirit of thankfulness. So then you will see people gladly giving it to you because you've done the same. All right? So that's the first one, like I said. And also with this, we're talking about emotions. If you send out hate, you will receive hate. So people feel, well, you know, this person did something to me, so I'm justified in being angry and mad. Tonight what I want to do is raise your consciousness to a super level, super consciousness, which is always there within you. That's your God mind. Because your God mind does not hold grudges. I want us to have the same kind of consciousness that little babies have. Children don't hold grudges when they're babies. They're full of nothing but love. They fight with each other, and the next minute they're playing with each other. That's all they are, is love. And when we go back to that level of consciousness, you will see that you don't have to fight any battles. And that's one of the laws I'm going to talk about later on, too. Those kinds of struggles will float out of your existence. I don't have those kinds of issues with people. I used to. I never had to physically fight people for the most part. But, you know, I had some struggles. I wasn't a person that was always embroiled in controversy. This has never been my energy to begin with. But I used to have some uncomfortable moments with people. Now those moments are far and few between because I recognize what I did to attract those things to me. So whatever you visualize or think upon will materialize in your world. Okay? So we just talked about the money issue, but now we're going to talk about the three parts of your mind. There is the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the thinking mind. It's the mind that's listening to me now on the radio. It's thinking, it's processing, it sees things out in the world, and then it analyzes what it sees. It's the analytical mind. It's the cognitive brain. Okay? So when you're thinking about things and overthinking things and whatever, that is the conscious mind. Okay? Now the subconscious mind produces whatever is placed within it from the conscious mind. Or superconscious mind. The subconscious mind basically doesn't do anything except what it is fed. So if your conscious mind is fearful, saying, you know, okay, well, I see this neighbor down the street and I know he's going to break into my house. I know he's going to break into my house. And you keep thinking that thought, the subconscious mind, which is really neutral, is the one that enacts whatever you put into it. So if your superconscious mind, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, is not actively involved, your conscious mind is thinking fearful thoughts. Those thoughts get locked into the subconscious mind. And you've forgotten about it. You've had that fearful thought, and you've just forgotten about it, and you've gone to sleep, and you go to work, and you come back home, and your house is broken into, and you don't remember that you've had that thought. that you may have had that thought for days or years or whatever. So the subconscious mind says, oh, okay, I have to now attract that to me because that's what the conscious mind was thinking about, and I don't have any other thought here locked into me, into the subconscious me, so I have to act on that. I have to keep thinking about it and bring it into reality. And then what happens is you get angry with the person who broke into your house, but you've been thinking of that thought for a long while. And one thing that women usually would do is they would say, well, you know, the conscious thought, they compare themselves sometimes. I think we're doing this less now. But compare themselves sometimes to other women in terms of body weight or age or whatever. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm getting too old. They keep having those thoughts, thinking those thoughts. So those conscious thoughts, when you look at something, the conscious mind is logging it into the computer. You're looking at it, you're repeating it. So the subconscious mind then, it slips into the subconscious mind. So you know, even though you're not actively still thinking about it, it's still there. And the subconscious mind is the one that enacts all of your thoughts, be they thoughts that you say you want or thoughts that you say you don't want. Whatever gets logged into that subconscious computer has to become your reality. So what happens is then when someone comes up to you and says, oh, you're overweight or you're not attractive enough, then people get angry with that person when that person says a mere reflection of your thoughts. Somewhere you have been holding on to that thought of not being good enough, and then it has to be played out because everything is energy. So you send that thought to your subconscious mind, and everything is energy, and it keeps saying, okay, so it then begins to attract to you people who will support that thought that you're not good enough. So you have people come to you, your boss, your spouse, your friends, your children, who keep repeating. But they only come to you and are in your world because you've had that thought, and it's been marinating in the conscious mind, and then it slips into the subconscious mind. So I want you to now look at everything in your present world that you say that you like, and everything in your present world that you say that you do not like, and you can trace it back. You can trace it back to a thought, because it did not just appear. It came from a thought. So now we can learn how to eradicate that. That's what this is. See, what happens is with the economy and a lot of other things, there are people who say to themselves, okay, I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of this job. That's a conscious thought. They hate their jobs. So the subconscious mind, it slips into the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind says, okay, we hate the job, so we're going to attract situations to us that will release you from it. And then when people get fired from the job, or downsized, or the job moves out to another country, they become angry with the company. And I said, no, you had a thought. Somewhere there was a thought that was so strong. It wasn't a thought of, okay, I can create a new reality, but you focus on what you didn't want. You focus on not being happy in the job. So the job then had to disappear. Or the not being happy in your relationship, then the person has to leave, or the relationship has is going to play itself out. So whatever you focus on, which is the lack of, and when you're talking about I hate this job, that's the lack of joy. So rather than focusing on the one thing in your job that brings you joy or looking for another job that would bring you joy, people sit in what they say that they don't like and don't want in relationships, in financial situations, in parts of the country, because they try to figure it out by using action. Action is the last stage. You have to get in alignment with the energy. Then you can act. But people act before figuring out how their thoughts have attracted these things to them. And then they keep getting more of the same. And then they become angry because they're getting more of the same. So now, the conscious mind, like I said, is the thinking mind. The subconscious mind is going to take its information from either the conscious mind or the superconscious mind. The conscious mind is dealing with the five senses. It's not metaphysical. It's not spiritual. It only goes by what it sees or experiences. With the conscious mind, it's going to base its impressions based on what it smells, what it hears, what it sees, what it tastes, or what it feels like in terms of touch, or even emotion. It's not thinking about God or any of that. No, it's dealing with the five senses. So say, for instance, if a person looks at the news all the time, he or she is going to be agitated, and it's going to be fearful on some level because the news is filled with depressing information. And that person usually is going to have some health issues because what that person is doing is taking on that level what he or she sees on television. And then everything that he or she sees on television becomes magnified in the person's world. Like someone told me about something about Halloween that she saw a lot of do not cross signs in people's yards for Halloween because people didn't want the people to come to their doors. I never saw that. My thinking never even saw that. So certain things that people bring to my attention, I physically don't see because my vibration is not at that level. So, and it's not thinking that you're better than someone or whatever. It means that I consciously every day feed my brain what I want in my world. If I want joy, peace, and happiness, I'm not going to look at reality shows that are crazy. I'm going to look at shows that give me joy, peace, and happiness. I'm going to listen to music that gives me joy, peace, and happiness. So I keep feeding my brain what I want to be in my world. So it has to show up. So with a conscious mind, look at what you're thinking about, looking at in terms of your eyes on television or in your environment. What are you listening to? What type of music or words or conversations are you listening to? Are you listening to people who gossip or people who are very negative or people who are very uplifting and very spiritual? What kinds of foods are you eating? Do they make you feel good or do they depress you? Are you eating too much sugar, too many processed foods? What are you doing in terms of your emotions? What's going on with your emotions? Are you allowing people in your world that do not support you, that do not understand you, that do not really see your worth and the good that you have to offer? If you're in any of those kinds of situations, then you have to say to yourself, okay, I can change this. There's nothing in your world that you cannot change. So that's where the superconscious mind comes in. Because the conscious mind is dealing with the five senses. It can only give you what it believes to be real. It only believes that what it sees, what it hears, what it tastes, what it feels, what it smells is real. It doesn't believe, it has a hard time believing in the abstract, like God or miracles. It doesn't really, it can't understand that because it defies its existence. It doesn't really, it can't understand that. So then your superconscious mind, that's your intuitive self, that's your God mind, that's your universal consciousness. And that is the place where you create unlimited possibilities. Now, like I said, there are people who use their conscious mind, their brains to think their way through and create, and that works up to a point, but they end up burning themselves out. And they end up dying early because they don't trust the intuitive within. You don't have to work harder. You just have to work smarter. But they rely too much on action. They get out there. A lot of politicians do this. You know, they finagle, they swindle, they do all of these things, and they get some results, but they don't get the results that they could have gotten if they had just relied on the superconscious mind to get in alignment with the energy of what they want. You don't have to fight. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. It's going to come to you, but it's like a magnet. Whatever you put out, remember, has to come back. So if you believe that you have to get out there and work hard and work from 10 from 5 in the morning to 5 at night to make an earnest wage, then your subconscious mind is going to produce those kinds of conditions. You would never be able to work in a job this easy and this effortless because that's not your understanding and that's not your belief system. So your subconscious mind will always bring you jobs that create a lot of heartache and toil and that you have to work at long hours. But your superconscious mind will say, you don't have to do that. Let's go and understand how this works. Let's go into your inner sanctuary, which is your private space. Let's go into your peaceful state, which is when you pray and when you meditate. And I've said this before, prayer is stating what you want, and meditating is listening to your spirit guides, to your angels, to the God within, to your ancestors, because they will tell you, they will show you. They're waiting for you to ask for help. That's the metaphysical principle. And in all the religious books and in all the metaphysical texts, they tell you this. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. They're over on the other side saying, just ask us. But they cannot intervene in your life without your asking. That's defying metaphysical principles. So what you do is you get very quiet and still. In the morning, before you get out of bed, just get centered with your day and become very peaceful and calm and state what you want. And as I said in my Peace Be Still series, you can use my product Peace Be Still, which will still the mind, because you need to have something that's going to still your mind. You don't need to get rid of your thoughts, but you just want them to calm down. And when you get your thoughts calmed down with having aromatherapy like Peace Be Still and your prayer and then your meditation, the thoughts will then stop, and then you can listen to what your next step would be. So rather than looking, having the subconscious mind filled with conscious thoughts, you want the superconscious mind, which is your God mind, which you were born with. All you have to do is just release things to get to it. People think they have to do something. You don't have to do anything. What when the Buddha was asked, what did he learn from meditation? What did he gain from meditation? You know what he said? He said, I gained nothing, but I can tell you what I released. I released fear, anxiety, depression, doubt, and worry. So, you know when you are your most powerful? Before you get out of bed. That's when you have most of your power. Before you get out of bed, that's when you're the most powerful. And what you should do is just get still. And your thoughts would tell you, okay, call this person, do this. Have a pen and paper by your bed. Because the superconscious mind, once you turn to it and stop depending on the conscious mind for everything, every part of your mind has a role. But we give the conscious mind too much power, and it gets us into trouble. So the superconscious mind is your intuitive mind, it's your God mind, and it never fails you. It's those little hunches that you get. Like, well, when you have nothing concrete to base those hunches on, and very few people go with that, the hunch might say, I don't think you should go down the street today. And your conscious mind will say, that's not logical. You know, this is a shortcut to work. I'm going down the street. And the superconscious mind said, I don't think you should do that. Okay? Most people who are linear, who are cognitive, conscious-minded kind of thinkers, will go down that street. People who are using the superconscious, which is all-powerful, will not. And the conscious-minded people will get stuck in traffic or have an accident or may lose their lives because they chose not to listen to the hunch. Every time you have a hunch, that's the God within you talking to you. That's your intuitive mind getting attention. And let me tell you this. The more you use that, the stronger it gets. And you start doing things with minimal effort. Things come to you. That's what's happened to me on a number of occasions. I was blessed to be included within the 2013 version of the Aetna Life Insurance Complementary Calendar for African American History. Aetna Life Insurance Company contacted me. I had no contact with them. I have no insurance with them. I've never had insurance with them. I don't know anyone there. They contacted 13 people out of, around the country, and I was one of the people to be included in their 2013 calendar. Now, this was the universe, God, Jehovah, Allah, blessing me because I've been in alignment with my desires, which is to get my message out there to the world. I want to connect with people from the soul, have my soul connect with your hearts. That's my passion, to help you heal your lives. And I need to be able to do it on a global level. And you, what better way can I do that? This billion-dollar company contacted me without any work on my part. I didn't even know that that opportunity existed. So that's what I'm telling you on a superconscious level. Things come to you with minimal effort or no effort because you're in alignment with your desires. I'm in alignment with my desires, and so things are coming to me with minimal effort. I couldn't have asked for that. You can't apply for that. Okay? So now you want to break the unproductive negative pattern locked in the subconscious mind. And you want to work on operating exclusively from the superconscious mind. And how do you do that? Like I said, you get still. You know, aromatherapy is very good. Like I said, Peace Be Still, which is one of my products, is very good for that. But you get still, and you pray. And prayer is just asking. And you stop praying, just thanking God for whatever. If you want to live a life of ease, thank you, God. I thank you that I am living a life of ease. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, universe. Thank you, creative source. I'm living a life. You call things that are not as though they are, because that's faith. What you're doing now is you're putting your desires, you're putting that energy out there. You're bypassing the conscious mind because it thinks you're crazy. You're using a superconscious mind, which is the one that produces all the miracles. You state it as a fact, and then you get quiet in meditation after you've stated it. Because in meditation, it's going to show you the how. Don't do anything before you meditate. Stop going out there doing, because most of the times we end up creating disasters, and we waste time. If we spend more time doing our work before we get out of bed, when you get out of bed, you have to do very little work. So spend your time in the prayer. The prayer is you're thanking the universe for whatever it is that you say you want. You want a new house? Thank you, God, for my beautiful new house. You thank God for the things that you desire. You don't say, you know, can I get a new house or when? No. You pray the prayer of conviction, or you make the statement or the affirmation of conviction that you know it's already here. And don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. That's not your job. Our job is just to sit back and remember, you want a life of ease. So your job is to sit back and watch it happen, because this is scientific. This is not, you know, puff and fluff. No, this is based in scientific law. So you pray the affirmative like you have it. You meditate, and then your guides, your teachers, your archangels, the Christ, whatever beings that you've called upon, will then show you in meditation. They will tell you what you need to do or not need to do. They will tell you, because you're now still, and you will get hunches. They will tell you. And then you see it as already done. If you're looking for, you know, a relationship or the person, when you see it, you do not become fixated on a particular person, because he or she may not be the one. You just visualize yourself in a happy relationship with someone if that's what you want. And you see your spiritual guides leading you. Okay? And an affirmation that you can use, I want you to write this down. I now smash, S-M-A-S-H, and demolish by my spoken word every untrue record in my subconscious mind. I now smash and demolish by my spoken word, every untrue record in my subconscious mind. They shall return to the native nothingness. Again, they shall return to the native nothingness. For I now make my perfect records. For I now make my perfect records through the Christ consciousness within. For I now make my perfect records through the Christ consciousness within. The records of perfect health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. Repeat, for I now make my perfect records through the Christ consciousness within, the records of perfect health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. So the whole affirmation is, I now smash, and this is from Florence's book, I now smash and demolish by my spoken word every untrue record in my subconscious mind. They shall return to the native nothingness. For I now make my perfect records through the Christ consciousness within. The records of perfect health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. Okay? That's your affirmation to use. And that's going to knock out of your subconscious mind all the fear and everything else. Because what you're basically saying to your subconscious mind, all that crazy stuff that I let come into you, subconscious mind, from my conscious mind, I now get rid of it. Because the perfect records through the Christ consciousness, and I'm not talking about Christianity. Christ consciousness means the enlightened consciousness. Through the Christ consciousness within, I'm now claiming that I have perfect health. I'm now claiming that I have perfect wealth. I'm now claiming that I have perfect love. And I'm now claiming perfect self-expression. So every time you feel crazy thoughts, this is the affirmation that you should use. And you know what? After a while, your conscious mind will stop putting crazy stuff into your subconscious mind. Because you know what will happen? These are words that are coming from the superconscious mind, from the God mind. And it's stronger and it's more powerful than the conscious mind. But you know what? You have to use it. It can't work if you don't use it. And this is something that they have of saying, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. This is just a Christian quote, but it's in all the other books too, similar things. And the other, in the Quran and in the Torah, I mean, it's just different books saying the same thing. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay? So now we're going to deal with the second law, the law of prosperity. There is a supply for every demand, and there is no loss in the universe. There's only abundance. So let me tell you something. If you so-called lose something, there's nothing lost in the universe. If you lose it, someone else gets it. So there's no loss. And you get something that someone else has released. So if something moves away out of your life, it means that the universe is going to give you something bigger and better and greater. Open up your hands, beloveds, and let it go. Because the longer you hold on to it, it's going to cause more pain. And you know that when you're holding on to something, when it's not in alignment, it causes a lot of pain. It causes a lot of pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, or whatever. But when you change your attitude about it, that which you think you lost, it will return to you, or something greater will return to you. That's the way it goes. But your fear of the loss is what keeps the illusion there. So if you say, oh, I lost my keys, I can't find my keys, the universe says, okay, yep, you lost your keys. When you say, okay, what I do, I've done this to with a lot of things. I say, okay, I don't know where something is, but I know you're there. I had a glove that was a favorite glove of mine, and I looked for that glove for about a year and a half, and I just released it. And then one day, I went to a place where I know I had been several times, and that glove was there. I'll give you another example. I sent something to the cleaners, and I had forgotten about it, and I left it in the cleaners for months. And I got the pants, but I didn't get the jacket. And I just said to God, I know that that jacket is there. I'm going to release it. And they had no record of the jacket, nothing. I said, I know it's there, and I'm going to get my jacket back. And I know. And about 6 or 7 months later, that jacket reappeared at the cleaners where they have gone through all the clothes and could not find it. Because I don't believe in loss. You know, when I'm really in alignment, when I'm not in alignment, it comes up and I feed it. But when I'm truly doing what I do in terms of my meditation and being quiet and using my peace be still and just getting centered and just listening to my teachers, my spiritual teachers, to my God within, to my angels, to my spirit guides, and to my ancestors, and to the Christ, to everything within this, of light, when I get quiet, they always help me. There's no loss. The money shows up. The relationship shows up. If someone moves out of your life, it means that the universe is saying, we have something greater and better for you. But we're so fearful. We think that that's as good as it gets. And so then the universe has to give you, yep, since that's your belief, that's as good as it gets. But when you say, I want something as good as, if not better, I always ask for better. I don't ask for something that's the equal. You know, if I say, I want this returned to me or something greater, either this or something greater. And I always get the exact thing or something greater. When I'm in alignment. When I'm not in alignment, it eludes me. So you can never, ever lose anything. There's no such concept in the universe. There's no loss. There's only abundance. There's a release. You release things that no longer serve you to get something that's greater and better. But when it's coming to be released and we hold on to it, then you experience emotional pain, financial pain, mental pain. But we create that. That's not coming from the Most High. That's not coming from God. That's us. We're creating that because we get concerned with the illusion of lack. And we don't, because we haven't been taught through most religions and through most of the institutions out there, we have not been taught that there is no such thing as lack. If you look out in nature, the trees willingly release the leaves during the fall. They don't hold on to the leaves. Oh, my goodness, I would never have a green leaf. No. I can't let the leaf go. Oh, my God. No. Everything in nature releases. You know, the trees drop the leaves because it knows. There's a cycle. If I give, I'm going to get. I'm going to release this so I can have a new growth of leaves. I don't want to have these old leaves for as long as I'm on the planet. The trees are like, no, I want new opportunities, new growth. Human beings are the only ones that live in fear all the time because we don't trust. And we're supposed to be the most evolved, and we're the most fearful. But we can change that because as babies, we didn't have that level of fear. We weren't fearful. We were taught fear through the five senses, through the conscious mind. So with the subconscious mind, we're going to change that, reprogram it. With the subconscious mind, we're going to tell the subconscious mind that we want the superconscious mind, the intuitive mind, the God mind, the creative mind to take control. We're going to read books like The Game of Life and How to Play It. We're going to listen to DVDs like from Michael Beckwith or from Eyala Van Zandt or from Joel Osteen. We're going to look at movies that reaffirm us, that make us feel good, Like this time of the year for me is so wonderful because as a child during this time, it was very happy for me. So I started playing Christmas music in October. I'm not religious. It has nothing to do with it. That music has high vibrational energy. And sometimes we become so political or so self-righteous that we take the joy out of everything. You know, people take the joy out of Halloween for children. Oh, it's an evil holiday. That is not what Halloween is about. Most people who say that came through Halloween and they're not scathed at all. You know you had Halloween when you were a child, and now they're depriving their children because they become super religious. I'm like, let them have some joy. They don't have joy anymore. We take everything away from children and from ourselves. The little boy and the little girl in you wants to have joy. We are too serious about life. So with me, I have Christmas music playing. I have put my tree up. I have the lights because the lights represent celestial beings. They represent the angels. They represent your spirit guides. They represent the ancestors. Trees represent growth. And I know people who don't want to put up a tree. No, I don't understand that because they represent happiness. You go into the department stores, regardless of your belief system, you feel good. You smell cinnamon scents. And some of the stores now are having cinnamon brooms because they know it activates prosperity. I'm very much into cinnamon, you know, and prosperity. I have my own cinnamon or prosperity line that I do, and it brings money to me and my clients. And you don't have to think about it. But the stores know that because they have certain scents, certain lights, and when you go into the stores around this time of the year, you feel happy. You want to stay, you want to linger, and they know that's good business. They have skipped over Thanksgiving for the most part, and they've started putting up Christmas things because people are drawn to the lights. That's an energetic frequency. Your spirit likes that. That's the God within you. Your superconscious mind is connecting to that. It says, this reminds me of when I was not on this planet. It reminds me of what it was like on the other side. It reminds me of the stars. It reminds me of bliss, of joy. It's activating something within your superconscious when you see Christmas lights. It has nothing to do with Santa Claus and all of that. That's the commercial part. You put on it the definition you want. I don't let people define it for me. I know what I'm doing when I put up my Christmas tree. I know what I'm doing when I put up certain colors on my tree. I know what I'm doing when I put up the lights. I know I'm activating an energetic frequency within myself that's going to make me joyful. I know that the little girl in me is going to be happy. And what does that do? It attracts more joy to me. It attracts very harmonious situations to me. It attracts money to me. Because you cannot attract good health, joy, and peace when you're feeling sad. So when I put up those lights, I automatically know that things are going to be magnetized to me because that's the frequency. That's the frequency. So now when you have that law of prosperity within you and know that there is no loss, you can stop claiming lack. You know, I lost my job. No, I was moved on to something bigger and greater. There's no loss. Oh, I want to lose weight. No, you want to release weight. You're not losing anything. There's no loss in the universe. So we have to relinquish it. There's only abundance, and there is a supply for every demand. And when you ask and state that there is a supply for every demand, then you step out of the way of the universe and let it come to you effortlessly. Now, the third law is the law of non-resistance. Resist nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing on earth can resist a non-resistant person. And what Florence quoted is, I'm quoting her, the Christ stated, resist not evil, for he knew that evil does not exist. There's no such thing as evil. It's something that we have come up with because when things do not go the way that we want, we have to then blame it on something else. There are low vibrational frequencies. Of course, that's there. And people keep fighting. And whatever you resist will persist. So once you face your fear, which people call evil or whatever, and fear is nothing but false evidence appearing real, But once you face it, it would dissipate. It would dissolve because the fear came from nothing and would go back to nothing. Let me give you an example. A lot of people have illnesses because they fear getting the disease. They focus on it, or if they don't focus on the disease, sometimes they're focused on some lack of consciousness or anger or unforgiveness. Anything in those frequencies are going to give you similar things. So if you're full of fear or full of anger or full of depression or anxiety or whatever, what is in that frequency? Lack. Those are all lack thoughts, right? And I'm not telling people to push them away because they're there to tell you something. And people try to suppress those emotions. No. They're there to tell you that you're not in alignment with what you truly want. If you're fearful of losing your job or fearful of losing a mate or fearful of dying, then you need to ask yourself not why fear is there, but ask yourself fear. Ask what questions, not why questions. What is it that you came to tell me? What is it that you want me to see about my focus on losing my job? What, not why. Why keeps you in victim mode? And when you use the word what, it would tell you. When you say fear, what is it that I'm afraid of? And fear would say, because you don't think you're worthy enough. You don't think that you're worthy of being able to get a job because you believe in the lie about this economy. So that is what the fear is. And when you explore it even more through meditation, your teachers and your guides would tell you that if you truly believe that the universe is abundant, when this job is released, something else has to come to you because it doesn't come from the outer, it comes from the inner. You attract to you what you believe. That's the principle. The Spirit of God tells you you have everything that you want within you. So if you believe that God is going to give you something better, then you won't have any fear about losing the job. So rather than pushing away the fear about things, ask it, what is the basis of my fear? And it will tell you. If you get quiet in meditation, your teachers and your guides will tell you what the real issue is. But we try to push it away through eating, medicating through drugs or whatever. People stuff their emotions. And whatever you resist persists. So you leave one situation, if you're in a relationship that's not fulfilling, and you go and attract another situation with a similar kind of energy, because you never deal with the energy of what the fear is to begin with. So this is facing ourselves. The game of life is understanding what the rules are and how we magnetize things to ourselves that are not the best and the highest vibrations. So, and water, as I said, is an energy that is the most non-resistant. Water doesn't resist anything. You can't dam it up. You can't stop it. It just keeps flowing. It doesn't try to stop itself. It just keeps moving. It goes around obstacles. It goes under obstacles. It goes through obstacles. Sometimes if the water is strong enough, it'll just keep pushing it through until it gets to the other side. But it doesn't fight anything. It just keeps going. It keeps going because it knows that it doesn't have to resist. It doesn't fear the rock and says, oh, okay, I can't get through the rock. It just says, no, the rock can't stop me. I'm persistent. I don't have to fear it. I don't have to resist it. I just have to be. So when you see a situation, be it a health challenge or whatever, you don't have to fear it. Whatever you fear, you give energy to. Just be non-resistant because it's there to tell you something. And I know early on, a couple of years ago, I used to read this book. They had some scriptural things in it, and it was cursing diseases. And I said, that's completely crazy, cursing the body. How can your body heal if you're cursing it? It was saying, I cursed the illness. And this was scripturally based. It was in some Christian book. And I looked at that, and I said, this is crazy. Because you're cursing the body that God gave you. I mean, you cursed this illness and whatever. No, you bless your body. Your body is wonderful. So you don't curse it. You bless it. And when you continue to bless it, then it responds to you with health, with vitality, because your words, remember, have energy, and they don't return to you void. So if you're using those, I forgot the name of the book, but it was a very popular little book with prayers in it, people going around cursing, and I became repulsed by it. So if you are cursing your body, your words don't return to you void. It has to then perpetuate what you say about it. It has to perpetuate that. So rather than cursing fibroids or cursing heart disease or cursing HIV or cursing diabetes or whatever, I curse this. What? No. You turn around and you thank God for your body. And you speak life to your body. You thank your body that it has served you as well as it has and would have done better had you known differently. Had you known differently, you would have made different choices. But now you know. So you are now going to turn around and give it what it needs. Remember, you're going to tell the subconscious mind words that are affirming, life-affirming. You're not going to put words in it that curse your body. You're going to tell your body what it was going to heal it. You're feeding your spirit and your soul. You're feeding it from the superconscious. You're having the superconscious feed your subconscious. You're not reading things that are not going to help you. You're looking at movies that are full of laughter because your joy is going to heal your body. There are people who have healed their bodies with no drugs and with no help from their doctors. And they've gone back and they've been given death sentences. And the doctors are puzzled. Why? Because they don't understand the superconscious. The superconscious part of you is the part that gives you life, that gives you everything that you want. But you have to tap into it. You have to stop looking to the conscious mind and believing it. You have to start feeding it with the stories and the music and the people and the images and the things that make you feel good. You have to start looking at movies that bring you joy, not movies that bring you pain or make you feel sorry or make you feel sad, especially if you have a life-threatening disease. You have to fast from everything that makes you depressed or sad or anxious or angry because you're feeding your body more anxious and angry thoughts. So you want to definitely not be in that energy of anger. Okay, I have a call. Greetings.
Camilla.
Welcome to... Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and you? I tune in, but it stopped coming through on the Internet.
Oh.
So I had to get on the phone.
I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't know what's
okay.
happening, but you have, I mean, the topic is wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not sure. I'll send them a message about, you know, the fact that it stopped coming through on the Internet. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Okay, just want to let you know I was listening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so
love
much,
you.
Mary. Thank
okay.
you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if any of you know of someone who is listening and can't listen because of what's going on with the Internet, I have no idea. I apologize for that. I'm going to send some information to Blog Talk to see what's going on. But the key is to become non-resistant, right? So don't fight anything because what you give energy to becomes your reality. The other thing is, once you do these things and start reading books like The Game of Life and How to Play It and all these other suggestions that I'm making, it will become effortless. And if you do something for 30 days, your brain has to accept it. 90 days, it becomes a habit. So reading books, putting your affirmations into your brain, listening to inspirational words and tithing and doing all the things I'm telling you, then you won't even have to think about it. Why? Because it's in your subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is the part of your mind that acts out everything. So once it's in your subconscious, you'll just be doing it automatically with no effort, and you'll just start seeing your world change. I guarantee you, if you follow what I'm telling you, within 90 days, even within 30 days, within a week, you will start seeing so-called miracles happen in your life. because you're now rewriting the script. Now, number four, the law of karma and forgiveness. Whatever you give into the universe must return to you, and usually when you least expect it. And we've kind of talked about that, but I wanted to go more into it. The subconscious mind, as Florence states, is a power without direction, and it will carry out orders with accuracy. So if you want money, as I said before, you must release all negative emotions regarding people and situations, and never envy what someone else has. Let me give you an example. There are people who look at people and they envy what they have. But you don't know, first of all, the whole story behind what you see. Because remember, the conscious mind is not metaphysical nor spiritual. It only goes with what it sees. It sees, you know, a handsome man and they just say, okay, he's handsome and he has everything together. They don't know the history of this person. Or it sees a beautiful woman and they just think that this person may be, you know, may have it all together. They have no idea what's going on. There was a situation that I heard about in which a woman saw this guy and she was immediately attracted to him, but he was in a relationship with someone else and she felt that this particular woman did not deserve him. She felt that she deserved him. So, long story short, she and this guy became connected and they eventually married, and years later she became very unhappy with him. And so it was not what she thought. She was envying this woman and she got exactly what she wanted, so she thought, but she didn't know all of the story behind it. This person, you know, did not have all the things, all the qualities that she thought. So you don't have to envy anyone in the law of karma. That's the law of karma. All you have to do is say, I want what the universe has for me. Not looking at the dress that someone else has, I want her dress. You can say, I would like a dress similar to that or something better. And in the book, Florence gave an example of a woman who desires someone's house. She said, I really like that house. I really like that house. So the owner of the house died, and she bought the house, but the house did not bring her happiness. The house brought her grief because shortly thereafter, she and her husband moved in, and her husband died. And then she contacted Florence Scovachin to ask if she thought that her being attracted to the house may have caused the man to die. And she said, yeah, because she was so fixated on it. And this is what's scary to people. She didn't want, in her conscious mind, she wasn't thinking she wanted the man to die, but she wanted his house. And the only way that she could get his house with the intensity of her thoughts was to get it once the man died. She could have said, I would like to buy the house from him, but she didn't say that. Her thoughts were fixated on, I want that house. So in order for her to get the house, she created a karmic situation in which she got the house through unfortunate means, and when she got it, she was not able to enjoy it. The same thing with this woman who wanted a guy who was in a relationship. So there's a way in which you can ask for things. You don't have to covet someone else's possessions or whatever that person has, because what is for you is for you. No one can take what is for you. And that's what a lot of times we don't really understand. We cannot, like I said, there's no loss in the universe, as I mentioned before, and no one can take from you what the universe has already divinely appointed. So all you have to do is say, I want what is my divine appointment. You know, people don't have to covet their supervisor's job. Just say, you know, God, I want something similar to this or something better. I bless my supervisor, and I bless him or her, and I wish him or her well, and I want something similar in this organization or something far greater. But I bless them and wish them well in their position. You see someone with a beautiful relationship. God, you know, I am so thankful that you're showing me how my relationship can be within my world. That's all it is. We get it confused. People become jealous. They see things that the universe is providing for you to see, so you can get an idea. This is part of the visualization of what you can have. But sometimes, you know, people become confused and they start coveting or becoming jealous of what someone has and wants what they have, and it never works out. It never works out. There's always pain connected to that. And you don't have to covet what they have, because the universe, God, Jehovah, Allah, is saying to you, do you like this? If you like this, I'm just giving you a little sample of what you say you want. So if you like this, I'm going to give you something similar or something better. You don't have to be jealous of him or jealous of her or want what he has or want what she has, because there are zillions of choices in the universe. So I, as your creator, just want to know, what do you like? That's the thing. You don't have to become sad or depressed, because it's in your world, so you can see you can have that or better. So once we understand that there is an abundance in the universe, you would never run out of anything. But when you think that you will, that's when the lack consciousness has to produce from the superconscious mind that lack thinking. So just affirm, this is another affirmation. Divine order is in my life and ordering my world now. Divine order in my life and ordering my world now. Okay? And that automatically, no matter what the situation is going to correct it. And you don't have to do anything, but just state that and step out of the way. And the God within you, the Allah within you, the Creator, the Jehovah, the universe, is going to give you the best. You can't even imagine. Like I said, the Eternal Life Insurance Calendar, I'm in it for the month of March. I couldn't even imagine anything like that. I've sold 3 cars without advertising, and no one had to come to my house. I just sold them because I put it out to the universe, and in 3 months, I sold 3 different cars. Their cars just sit on the parking lot for years, and I got the prices that I wanted. But that's when you're in alignment with things. Now, another universal law, casting the burden. You do not have to have struggles nor confrontations with anyone, because everyone on the outside of you is just a mirror reflection of you. So you're just basically fighting yourself, cursing yourself out, because we all come from the source. And whatever you're cursing them out about or fighting with them about, it's just something that came to you to show you it's in you. But you know why it's in you and how you know it's in you? Because you recognize it. And it's making you uncomfortable. If you didn't know what it was, you wouldn't be able to recognize it. So if someone is being mean to you, how are you being mean to yourself? If someone is not acknowledging you, how are you not acknowledging yourself? If someone is not loving you, in what ways are you not loving yourself? It's just a mirror reflection of what you are not doing for you. And we get angry because he doesn't love me enough. She doesn't love me enough. She's a gold digger. He's this. Whatever those thoughts are, that is what you're doing to yourself. And it's so painful because we don't like to look inside. We like to project and look at everyone else. If she would only do this, I would be happy. If he would only do this, I would be happy. It has nothing to do with anything or anyone outside of ourselves. So the whole thing is now, like I said in the beginning, look to see what is lacking in your world, or so-called lacking, because there's no such thing as loss. But whatever, if you want love, be more love. If you want peace, be more peace. Be more peaceful. If you want joy, be more of joy. Be more joyful. I don't have physical confrontations. I know people who do that. I don't attract that to me. I don't attract contentious relationships to me. But I'm working on myself every single day, every single moment, because when I feel feelings that feel like anger or joy, I don't stuff them. I don't stuff them. I ask them, anger, what wonderful message are you here to show me? I never stuff my emotions. There are people who say, I don't deal with emotions. And you know what? They keep surfacing, because you have emotions to show you something about yourself. They help you grow. and help you get into alignment. Anger is a wonderful thing because it's showing you that you're feeling some sense of loss or lack. You're angry because you feel like you're not getting enough attention or someone is not respecting you. Those are coming from places of lack. And they could very well be doing that, but they're doing that because you're doing that to yourself. That's what we have to look at. We are getting back what we put out. And when people say that this person is the enemy, there is no enemy. There is their inner, I-N-N-E-R, me. So the enemy is the inner me. So whenever you're looking at the enemy, and people do that in a lot of religions, you know, the enemy, it's nothing but the inner you. It's just the inner you. Because there's one source and one power, which is the creative one, which is all good. And there are lower vibrations of that power. The people who come from a lack of consciousness, I'm not saying that there are not things out there in people who are not kind and generous. Most certainly there are. But they're just coming from the illusionary state of lack. When someone is full of anger or hate or whatever, they're doing that because they have a sense of lack, and they usually don't feel good enough. So misery loves company. So because they don't feel good enough, then they project that onto others. And if we don't feel good enough, we put the coat on and we wear it like it is the best coat ever. So you cast the burdens of all of those things within. You don't have to fight anyone or anything. Because when you shift your consciousness, the people who are not kind, who are violent, who are not vibrating at your new frequency, they can't find you. You have floated out of their world, and you don't see them. Remember I said the person was talking about the do not cross over tapes for Halloween or whatever? And we were in the car. I didn't see any of that. They were there, but my consciousness wasn't there. So the whole thing is that when you are not focused on things that represent lack, then the lack and the enemy, which is the inner you, will have to dissipate and float out of your life. You become like water. There's no resistance. There becomes no resistance. Okay, I have a call. Greetings. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. May I ask who's calling?
This is Wanda. Greetings, Professor Franklin.
Hi, Wanda. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Actually, right after I queued in, you answered my question. So you can just continue. I was concerned when you were talking about the inner me and the enemy, and you know, I just didn't understand when there's someone who's just totally being hateful to you for no reason that I can fathom, but you kind of just nailed it. So thank you, and you can continue.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for listening. So the inner me is the enemy. And once we stop focusing on the outside of us, we then can take our power back and start claiming what we want. And that's what the game of life is all about, is understanding the metaphysical rules, the spiritual laws. And let me tell you something. People who are in top corporations and whatever, they understand this. I've said this on a number of shows. And like the DVD The Secret talked about, they said they kept people unenlightened. They kept them in the dark because it's to their advantage to keep you based on religious ideas. Religion and spirituality are two different things. They are not the same. Spirituality has you see the truth and how energy works and how the creator works because it's foolproof. Religion puts you in a box and has you if you don't follow these rules, then this will happen, and God is going to do this to you, and it takes your power away, and it gives you set rules and dogma, and it makes you fearful. spirituality doesn't do any of that. Spirituality has you understand the nature of who you are, how you are a God being, how you are created in the image of the Most High. And all the religious books tell you that, but people don't believe it. I said that to a friend of mine in another state. And she said, oh, be careful of what you ask for, because she's very religious. And to her, that was almost being sacrilegious. You know, you can't, even though in Christianity she's a Christian, Christ said, these things I do, you can do these things and more. For her, this was almost like being blasphemous, because people have been told that, and they've thought that, and religious leaders have people think that if you think on that level, where is their role? You don't look to them then, and it's like, okay, where do I fit? So this, the game of life and how to play it, is showing you that everything that's in your world, and but see, as Wanda has had alluded to in the call, this is challenging but easy work. Because you, now, if you've been on the planet for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, or 70 years, you've been programmed. You've been hoodwinked to give up your power. So now I'm saying to go back to the innocence of a baby. Babies come in here knowing that they are awesome. They love everything about themselves. They are in awe of themselves. So I'm saying this book, The Game of Life and How to Play It, is excellent. It's a roadmap, regardless of your religious belief. You can use it if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, if you're Yoruba, if you're Hindu, if you're an atheist, whatever your belief system, you can just use it, craft some of the languages that's part of your belief system, and substitute it and put it inside. It's foolproof. But it makes you do your work. And you know what? When you're so busy doing your work, you don't have time to criticize anyone else or judge them. Because remember, if you in Christianity, they say if you talk about the splinter in someone's eye, you have a beam in your own. You don't have time because everyone outside of you is a reflection of you. And you're so busy finding out how wonderful you are. I mean, once you really get on this path, it is just so awesome. I'm still peeling back layers. I'm still just going into layers. And I call on my teachers, my spiritual teachers. I call on my spirit guides. I call on my angels. And when you thank God for who you are and get into meditation, then your spirit guides and your teachers and your angels will come and tell you who they are. And they will say, just ask and we will help you. You no longer have to fight people. And people who are coming up to you, too, who may not be kind or whatever, they are there as teachers. The worst people in your life, so-called worst people, are the greatest teachers. And that's a concept a lot of people balk at. They're like, no, how can this person be a teacher? This person robbed me, this person raped me, and this person killed my child or whatever. I said, first of all, you have to understand about karma. Because in all religions, even in Christianity, they tell you this is not your first time here on this planet. They took that out of a lot of the religions, which you've been here before. So you've come back to learn certain lessons. And when we judge, we then get off track and we become distracted because we start looking at the person and not at the lesson. So whatever that pain is that that person is presenting you with, that is the lesson. And if you hate him or hate her and move from that relationship to someone else, it then gets closer to you. It comes in the guise of your children, if you have children. It gets to the point to where you can't run from it anymore. And we then have to, we don't have to do anything, but if we choose not to address it, it will be with you until you decide to transition from this planet. But it will not leave you until you deal with it. And it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. And I have to remind myself of this as well, because there are things that happen in my life that don't feel good. They don't feel comfortable. But then I see it's making me go deeper into the inner sanctum of my spirit within my soul. Because the things that I wrestle with are soul lessons. That's the universe telling me, okay, like Florence Scovel Shinn says, don't run. Look at these soul lessons. And I will give you all the answers, and I will give you the guidepost to help you walk through and get to the next level. So casting your burdens means you go within, and what you do is you take full responsibility for everything in your life, and you cast it within on your inner guide and ask for assistance and ask what, not why, not why is this happening to me? What is the message that you want me to see, Creator? What is the message? And I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to run from it because you want me to learn this. And when I learn this, I'm going to be even more powerful. And it's strengthening my knowledge about who I am and how awesome I am. Because once I learn it, the lesson will not be repeated. I don't have to repeat it. And when I see it again, I will know how to deal with it. But as long as I keep skirting it, it keeps running, it keeps showing up, as long as I run away from it. So that's what casting the burden is. You don't have to fight any battles. You don't have to fight the enemy, whatever. No. No. There's no one to fight. It's you, your inner demons, the little child trying to get your attention, saying, okay, these people are harassing you. I'm not saying that they're not harassing you, but they're harassing you because you have a lack of consciousness about something. You don't feel good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, young enough, intelligent enough, and they're in your face saying the same things that you really feel about yourself. And they're mistreating you because you're mistreating yourself, because you're not dealing with the truth of who you are. And when you come to know who you are, when you come to really embrace who you are and understand the game of life and the rules, and then you love everything because there's everything is just a reflection of you. And one thing I want to tell you, too, is bless every situation. Blessing it does not mean that it's right. It just means that you're transforming it to something else, to high vibration. Greetings. We have 12 minutes. Greetings. Hello.
Jamila?
Greetings, Annabelle. Yeah. How are you?
Can you hear me? I'm driving. Great. How are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you well, yes.
Okay, thank you, thank you. I just wanted to come in and say give thanks to the Creator and thank you so much for all the information that's being shared this evening. I think it was divinely presented from a ethereal level, from the conscious, subconscious, superconscious. And I feel within my heart space that it is the information that was shared has really touched several people on this call tonight, and I'm so very thankful because in order for me to understand it and to through and to understand more about who I am, and as you said, going much, much deeper, and the information really comes about and just honoring who you are and loving who you are. So once again, Jamila, I thank you so, so much for this wonderful
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Annabelle. I appreciate the kind words.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we have to just come to the space of never asking questions that represent victimization, because you are not a victim. You are made in the image of the Most High. So how can you be a victim? You're an overcomer. We become victims when we don't know any differently, and then we attract to us certain situations. And people will ask, well, what about babies? Babies are not thinking about attracting situations. No, babies come through the energy of lack consciousness in a family that's full of hate or violence. So everything is energy. So if a baby is coming out pure and whatever, if the mother has been harboring hate or victimization or fear, that baby is surrounded with that energy. The children are surrounded with that energy. That's why those things are attracted to them, because the energy, the parents that they came through, set that energy up. And once we've come into that, we can always change it once we know differently. So even though the children may have come through a family of violence or whatever, they can change their energetic grid around them by understanding who they are, by asking, what is it that I'm supposed to learn? And when you come through a family of abuse and hate and all of those other dysfunctional things, the most challenging thing for a person who's experienced that is to love. And that's the message in it. The message is you came through this and to, rather than fighting, because most people become, you know, afraid or fearful or bitter, and it's understandable because they see themselves as not having attracted this to them because they were babies. They didn't, but the energy coming from the parents, coming from the kind of the way in which the baby was brought into the world. A lot of children are brought into this world in a violent way, and the parents were violent or unhappy or depressed or whatever, so they come into that kind of energy. So by blessing situations, blessing this country, blessing people around you who do things that are low vibrational and that don't feel good, you know, that's the most powerful weapon. And you know what? All of a sudden, they will float out of your life because nothing can overcome the energy of love. And I'm not talking about the spirit love. You know, I love you. No, I'm talking about universal love. And it doesn't mean that you accept what they've done. It just means that it no longer holds you captive. Because as long as you hate them, hate is like, and this is what I told someone at the retreat that I attended this weekend, hate is you taking poison and expecting the person next to you to die. So you're taking the poison of hate, but you think that the person that you're hating is going to suffer. That's not possible. Hate is affecting you, and it has nothing to do with the person that you're directing the hate towards. He or she can, you know, just float out of your life. It's killing the person that's sending out the hate. Remember, I said that whatever you send out in the universe, it comes back to you. So with this, the game of life and how to play it, I'm going to do part two in a couple of weeks. But understanding how this game is played, it's the game of life. The universe has given us all the rules and spiritual laws, and I encourage you to play this back and to use the tools that I've given you. And I also would encourage anyone who would like to talk with me privately to get empowered through my practice, because this is what I do in my practice. Feel free to call me at 770-808-8051. Again, my number is 770-808-8051. And you can also visit my website, www.oyendeenterprises.com. And that's spelled O-Y-I-N as in Nancy, D as in dog, E, Enterprises, ENTERPRISES.com. That's www.oyendeenterprises.com. My purpose tonight, as with all of my shows, is to have my soul touch your heart. We came here to this planet to have a joyful, peaceful, loving, abundant life, and we got distracted. And we got distracted with things that the conscious mind said were important. The conscious mind said that the only things that were important are the things that we can see, taste, smell, or feel. And that was not true. And because we got distracted, we then started attracting to us the things, unknowingly, the things that cause us to have pain and to have grief and to have everything that is not of our best and our highest. And we just got on a treadmill, and we just kept perpetuating and creating and perpetuating and creating the very things that are not joyful and peaceful. So, as I said, I'm going to go over part two and some more metaphysical books in the future. What I would like for us to do is, first of all, to see that there are rules, and not to be so action-oriented. Just get still, because the more you act before getting still, you keep creating the very things that you don't want. And stop running. There are so many people who are running from relationships or running from themselves. You're really running from yourself. And listen to the little child within you, because he or she is there to tell you when you're not in alignment. And when you have these wonderful situations that cause you pain, they're there not to cause you pain. They're there to give you a wake-up call. And do not stuff your emotions like someone I know who says, you know, the person says that the person's not going to deal with emotions. And that's unfortunate because it's part of who you are. You don't have to ignore the emotions. Just ask them, what are they here to show you? And they would tell you, your teachers would tell you, your spiritual teachers, your angels, your archangels, your God within, the Christ, Allah, any, whatever your belief system is, those energies are just waiting for you to tap into it. So that now let's change the focus. Rather than focusing on the third dimensional part of who we are, rather than focusing on the mind, which will really get you into a lot of very interesting situations, because the mind will allow the ego to take over. Rather than having the mind, which tells you, the mind would tell you, if you don't see it, if you don't smell it, if you can't taste it, if you can't sense it, if you can't hear it, it doesn't exist. So the mind would discount the superconscious, because the superconscious says, if you can't smell it, taste it, feel it, or experience it, it does exist. It tells you the complete opposite, because the being that we call God, Jehovah, Allah, or whatever the being is that you believe in, is on the ethereal plane. You can't sense it. You experience it, but you can't smell it, taste it, feel it, or any of those. You just know that it is there. And when you allow that to be the driver of the subconscious mind, when you feed the subconscious mind with the thoughts from the superconscious, when you tell the subconscious mind that all things are possible, when you get still in the morning and you just focus on, like I said, peace be still, and you go to my website, you can find out more about the blend. Get still with peace be still, my aromatherapy blend. Get still with peaceful music. Get still with inspirational words, and you start feeling full of that energy. Then you can tithe without any regrets. And you know what? When you really want to get out of a situation, you have to do the opposite of what the conscious mind is telling you. If you're in a situation of lack, then you should give, because your not giving is keeping you stuck, right? I mean, a lot of people, I can't get it, I can't, and they haven't moved. They have not progressed. So just try what I'm saying, but you have to have the spirit of giving. If you're giving and you have a spirit of regret or dread or anger or obligation, if someone gives to you, they're going to give it to you with a spirit of dread and obligation and regret. It's not going to come from a loving spirit, and it's not going to be plentiful. So if you give love and you're giving love begrudgingly, I'm giving it, I feel obligated to do it, it's going to come back to you with the same energy. Everything is an energetic vibration, has an energetic vibration, and you attract to you those things that you are. So just put this to the test. The superconscious mind is the mind that we're going to now say is in the driver's seat. We're going to feed the subconscious mind with it, because the subconscious mind is the one that does, that brings to you what you want. And it has no energy of its own. It will either take the thoughts that you feed it from the conscious mind, which are full of lack and limitation. The conscious mind is always full of rational lack and limitation thoughts. Or you turn to the superconscious mind, which is full of joy, unlimited possibilities, love, peace, unlimited wealth, health, divine order, and just claim divine order in every area of your life. And I guarantee you, that's all that will manifest. And I have enjoyed talking with you, and we will do part two in the future. And for those of you who would like to talk with me further about this and to set up an appointment, my number is 770-808-8051. This is Professor Franklin, and have a wonderful rest of the evening and week. Take care.
Release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it